Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. And Blog Talk gets cute.
Sometimes it does.
They were like, no, you got to call again, girl.
Oh.
Like, really? Yeah, they got cute. That's okay. That's okay. Blog Talk
you
Radio.
Made it.
That's okay. You better enjoy us while you still have us, BTR.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you. Do we have a call?
No. No,
okay.
No. We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. Anyway, so last show was very interesting because we had our two callers,
mm-hmm.
very different callers. But very interesting how they both, what they had in common, their knee-jerk reaction when we had, you and I both were speaking to them on wondering about their meditation practice or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting how both rejected the concept. And, of course, I don't let anybody get off the hook, especially myself. So that was very, very, very interesting and helpful, recognizing the value of meditation. So, so important. And such a go-to place, go-to default setting, especially when you are at the crossroads of surrender,
mm-hmm.
when you just got to step back and go within. Very interesting. And I'm skirting around what has transpired in the last week, because it's difficult and painful, and I'll get there eventually. But it's interesting because I took, in the spirit of searching for that default setting or creating a default setting, not searching for it, but creating a default setting of going within meditation, I actually took a yoga class yesterday,
Ooh.
And it was a class called Gentle Yoga. I'm like, okay, we like how those two words put together sound like. Okay, like that. Okay, that's working for me. And I had never taken this class before, and I had a guest pass. And I go to the instructor, and I said, this is the first time I'm taking a class here with you. Where do I find the mats? And she's like, oh, any mat that's laid out already that doesn't have a towel on it is unclaimed. So they had folded blankets on each mat, so I wanted to make sure that that's what she meant. I didn't know if somebody put blankets on a mat, and she said, no, you can there are blankets on there, but you can take that as long as there's not a towel on it. And she introduced herself, and she said, what's your name? I said, my name is Liz, or you can call me Not the Brightest Bulb in the Chandelier, because I was, you know, trying to be funny, self-deprecating. She goes, let's start your practice now. The whole point of, I'm
there,
like,
you go. Oh my God.
But she was nice. But she was nice. That was good. It was good. She was nice. She's a lot nicer than I am. She was nice. She was really nice. That's why I'm not a yoga instructor, because I would fail miserably at that. She was very kind. And she said, I needed to hear this. The whole point of yoga practice is to not be hard on oneself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I'm certainly at the right place then. Thank you. I thought, I got to remember that.
Good.
Yes. And the class is great. Then after the class, I see that there's like a little members lounge area. I'm like, oh, there's a little members lounge, okay. And there's like a shelf with like magazines and books, take one, don't take one, whatever. And I actually picked up a book that I started to read. And, you know, I never really read. I don't make the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the book is called The Art of Stillness, which is not to be confused with Stillness Speaks, which is a fabulous little book by Eckhart Tolle, which is on my bedside. But this book is called The Art of Stillness, and it's called Adventures in Going Nowhere. And it's by a writer named Pico Iyer, I-Y-E-R. He's a travel writer. So now he's traveled all over the ends of the earth, and now he's talking about not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was published by, you know, TED Talks. I guess they have a branch called TED Books.
Oh.
So I picked up this. Yes, I picked up this little book, and I think The Art of Stillness and Stillness Speaks, I think those would be a very, very nice gift. You know what I mean? Like as a set?
Mm.
Yeah. So both books are brand new. One I picked up during one of my vintage sale trips, because I do that all the time for my side hustle. So brand new a copy, which I read years ago, but it's worth reading again. I haven't opened it yet. Brand new copy of Stillness Speaks. I think I paid like 75 cents for it. And then the brand new hardcover of The Art of Stillness. I'm like, oh, that's going to be a good little stocking stuffer for somebody that I paid like, you know, less than a dollar for. And that's how we do it, girls. All right, so skirting around the issue, because it's painful. So, we did the show a week ago Thursday, and as always, amazing show. And that's yes, and that was the show when you had requested to see if any energies could come in from the other side. So let me ask you this, because I love the opportunity to practice the mediumship in different forms.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been a great help to that. So your grandmother came in, and a couple mm-hmm. little details came in that you were going to ask about or see if anything would make sense. So before I go into the rest of that day, because it's a doozy, I wanted to just check with you about the after. Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about this on Tuesday because we had two calls, and we had lots of interesting things to talk about. So I want to ask you now, just want to follow up from last Thursday's show when you asked if anybody from your ancestors had any message for you. We believe your grandmother came in. So let's start mm-hmm. with that. I want to ask you about that first.
Well, yeah, so much has happened since then. The interesting thing that I just talked to my acupuncturist Donna last night, because she had done a session with me. I remember, so my the skin on my legs started doing that inflamed, itchy thing that I had done earlier on my arms. So then it was down my legs, and so she had done a session to kind of address that, and finally, like, she's been traveling a bit, so she finally was able to get back in touch with me and wrote out her session and just had only a chance to snap a shot and send it off to me. So I'm trying to read it this is probably Tuesday afternoon. I'm trying to read it, and it's fascinating, but like I needed to have a conversation with her because she usually will forget about writing down things. Like she usually just says it. So we had that last night. And one of the things that that my grandmother had said was to embrace my culture.
Right.
Right. And part of what was going on there was, and I may have said that on the show, was I'm not always thrilled about having to go to the Philippines.
Right.
And it just was not a pleasant experience the last time. And since then, that's been, almost 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I've just not been keen on it, and more about, I'm American and this is what it is.
Uh-huh.
So interesting, with all the ancestry stuff that has been kicking in, when Donna does her work and it ends up, she's able to trace it, like it's on your father's side, seven generations back or whatever.
Right.
I think it's interesting because I try to think about, well, what was going on? Like, what was the time period?
Right.
And we can only trace it back so far for our records. But it's been interesting to kind of see what other people who may have been able to dig a little deeper, but still without, I'm still used to wanting accuracy. And I want to make sure these dates are right. But just to let that go for a moment and just think
right.
about the history and how things kind of flowed in and, Philippines being an island nation, all that, just trying to get a bigger picture and just to let it flow. So to get that information and then to couple that with Donna's treatments for reunion healing and acupuncture, last night she said that we traced it back. It's on your mother's mother's side. My grandmother, my grandmother on my mom's side, my mother's mother's side of the family, but it went back so many generations that she's like, I stopped counting. It's
wow.
like, it's ancient, this, this particular situation and this energy that is attached, and it's collective. And so it's not just me, but it's for most people, so this energy of mistrust.
Wow.
And because of the mistrust, there's a lack of confidence, and it kind of just cycles back. So then you start mistrusting your own intuitions and your own
right.
insights. So there's just this ongoing situation for all of us, and particularly in my family too. So she said that, And it's interesting because I'm so glad I called her because some of the stuff was not really in what she wrote. But as she's talking, I'm like, oh, because that's, some of these visuals are helpful. The initial energy kind of started around the heart, like kind of outside the heart in that area. So it was sort of blocking and then it moved to the head. So she said, we're going to get started on a treatment, for I want to say it's like parasites or some type of, something that basically, we're going to need to, probably take some supplements on that. And she says her too.
Right.
She's like, she said, this is not just specific to your family, but it's collective, but you're tapping into it.
Right.
So it's this mistrust.
Mm.
And then the cycle kind of starts when you start mistrusting yourself, then you could only go so far, and it's not very far at all, because you don't think and you don't believe that it's going to work out. Even if you maybe intellectually think that, there's a part that will just always sort of keep you, you start stumbling over your own mistrust. This is one of the phrases that she had written out.
Mm.
So she had a visualization to kind of to clear that, and it was the image at first was like worms, like black worms, And so what she did was she changed that into like the golden snakes of Medusa, which so Jesus and I just brought a lot of light to it. And so, I mean, I kind of want to look up, I obviously look more Medusa, because you think of Medusa and she was like that scary, you know, Gorgon, Gorgon head that, you know, would freeze you. But this one, these were golden. So there was wisdom to that. Mm. And snakes deal with healing as well. So
right.
to change it from something parasitic to something of deep healing and wisdom, I really like that. And,
beautiful.
And so she wanted me to also, Donna said, when I told her, oh, by the way, so my brother and sister-in-law are having a baby, and he finally got back from Vietnam. His project. And they opened up the envelope to find out the sex of the baby.
Oh,
Tuesday night, and they're having a baby girl.
I knew it.
So, and I don't think it would have mattered whether it was a girl or a boy, but Donna said, you know, go ahead and have that image also for your niece.
Nice.
So that she won't have to deal with this. So as we're clearing it, it won't.
Yeah.
I have to continue.
You're breaking the pattern.
Right.
It's literally on your shoulders. It makes so much sense to be the one to break the pattern.
Right.
It's beautiful. It ends with you. What a beautiful accomplishment. It ends with you. Beautiful. So I want to hear more.
Well, that's really, you know, that's really what I got, you know, and the things that you had said from my grandmother was like to not think so much. So, you know, I'm like, okay. and so in doing that, a lot of it is just seeing how that feels. You know, how that feels to kind of release, you know, if you think about what we just talked about mistrust, and no wonder all of a sudden I'm trying to think everything through.
It makes so much sense. It makes so much, like not even trusting yourself. Did I get this right?
Right.
Which I do. I could do it this way. Like, oh, you know, just that. But isn't that wonderful that you know that it accumulated with you to the point that you can't contain it anymore? So then all of a sudden your body isn't trusting itself. So then you're going to have outward manifestation of that. So like, yay for you.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
And that
so
it's,
that,
go ahead.
Well, that kind of ties into the energy. Like, I think I told you when Donna did the session, she stubbed her toe. Well, I was on the table. She stubbed her toe on the table as she was sort of addressing it. Like, not even, she hadn't even gotten into the deepest session, you know, the reunion part of it. She was just, she maybe just touched on it because she hadn't really, really sat down. She was just like, I'm kind of getting this angry energy that's attached to this. And it's not yours. It's not all yours, but it's an energy that's, you know, so that all ties in. Mm-hmm. To that ancient generations so far back, she stopped counting type thing. And she said it may be like a chieftain of some sort. And you know, it was like survival stuff, like, you know, shelter and food and that type of thing. You know, this is all about survival. And so not trusting that. So probably, you know, he died of, and she said, since it was a heart, it started off in the heart, maybe it was something had to do with, you know, he died of some heart condition. Who knows? But it's just been traveling along, you know, traveling along. Mm-hmm. And so that energy, it's interesting because, like, my skin is still, it's not itchy, but it still has the bumps. Mm. They don't hurt at all. They're not, it's just really rough skin. So, but, you know, it's having to, there's still steps to take to kind of make sure that let's clear it for good, you know, on the spiritual, on all these different levels.
On all levels,
You know, emotionally, mentally, physically and spiritually.
Yeah, and you would think with rough hands, you know, that's like from, you know, you look at pampered hands and workers' hands. Well, it's interesting, you know, the first image that came in when you had made the request to me was farm. And
right.
It wasn't like American farm. It was, there was like no red barn and, you know, piece of rooster and a silo and apple pie. It was just land, but it looked like wheat or rice or like just vast open
right.
space. So you would think, okay, those hands are rough. Anything that's working on that to survive. Doesn't mean you're owning the farm. If you're owning the farm, you probably aren't working the farm. So I think that's absolutely fascinating. And maybe that's why at 33 years old, which is, I believe, when you were last at the Philippines, which is such an iconic age. You just look at the whole Christ archetype and all of that and resurrection. There was just probably a part of you unconsciously that was, it was just all heightened. And that was before all of this was so fully formed, right? To the point that now, you know, that it's like you have to, I wonder if Donna even used this language, that there's, on your end, what's emerging is a warrior kind of spirit as opposed to a worrier, but a warrior.
Right.
One that's
yep.
literally going to cut through this BS. So I think that it's no accident you're going to end up going to the Philippines. In a very upscale manner. It's not like you're going on a rubber raft without immigration papers, God forbid, right? But you're going in with your parents. It's beautiful. It's beautiful for them. It's a full circle moment for them. And I'm wondering if you can remember 15 years ago when you were there, what was the dynamic, if you can recall, between you and your parents once you were at the Philippines or surrounding that? Do you remember?
Well, my parents had actually gone there a month before.
Okay.
For additional, I want to say either high school or college reunions for my dad. I think it was probably
college.
That's
so cute.
So
adorable.
They were there a whole month before, and then my brothers and I flew over with, I think we flew over with some other family members, you know, cousins and uncles and stuff. Yeah, we did. We flew over for just 2 weeks for us, for me and my brothers. So we, you know, we were just sort of doing our thing, and I was a little overwhelmed. Obviously, I was excited, but then I didn't really know what to expect. And I think I told you when I got there, it was too much, you know, just jet lag. It's probably
right.
how my Aunt Thelma felt going to New Zealand, you know, like flying out
right.
to Australia and be like, you know, just it's hard
right.
to, it's really
right.
hard to enjoy it all because you're so tired and
right, right,
and there's a lot to do. So
is that your first time going to the Philippines ever? Or you've been
yeah,
there before?
That's the only time I've ever been. No,
oh,
that's
first
the only
time
I've
okay.
ever been.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
'Cause I've opted not to go back.
Right.
I'm like, no, I'm not going to go.
Right.
So, yeah, I think, again, it was that feeling like everything had already been planned out by whoever, you know, by the group of people who were planning it, you know, from all the different clans, like different family members. So, you know, we were literally just along for the ride. And that was different to not have any say. Like, I didn't do any research into this. I'm like, well, I don't know. So that sounds like they got everything planned. So, you know, you just show up and you get on the bus or whatever, and that's just what it is. You know, didn't think about how different it was going to be. Like, we weren't going to spend a lot of time in the city. We were going to be out in the country. And, you know, just the conditions were going to be different. Coffee was going to be instant.
Ooh, right there.
You
bye.
Know, I mean,
right. I'd be a coffee maker. Yeah. I'd be like, no, I just find me an outlet and we're good. Right.
It was very much a group, a family, a herd mentality. We all got to go. Oh, you got to go to the bathroom? We're all going to go to the bathroom. Okay. Safety numbers, I guess. So, but you know, that
Lord.
Wasn't really the case. But you almost like I almost had to go with somebody because I wouldn't know how to get back. You know, to get lost in the sea.
Oh,
and this
Jesus.
Was really in the city, not like. No, if you're like in the country, you know, that's a whole different set of issues when you go to the bathroom. But because when we were at the reunion itself, it was on a school campus. One of my uncles was like the president of the university, so they had these dorms that were available, which is smart, but again, not planned out. Like, you probably should have separated, you know, this wing will be all male, you know, men's bathroom. This wing
oh,
will be
Lord
have mercy. We're all just sort of coming in there like, oh, hi, how are you?
Hey.
Are
we related? We are now. But I'm
yeah,
right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, right, right. So
right,
there,
right, right.
There was a lot. There was, and again, the whole you know, got to flush the toilet. There's like a whole thing you got to do. There's
oh, Lord. You got to pump the water or some crazy, yeah.
Well, you got to, yeah, you had to like bring it. Yeah, I don't know. I was probably doing it all wrong anyway. They're like, damn American, you know, clogging up the bathroom. I don't know what she was. But it was just disorienting. And so when I saw my parents, you know, they were there for like, they'd been there for a month. And it had been a while since they had actually visited. And that was like the big trip for them because they were visiting, you know, classmates and then mom of course wanted to visit her family members and then when we got there she wanted to visit the family members, so there was a lot of on both sides of the family, and they were trying to fit it all in because this is like the only time that they were able to get all of us together, so
right.
they were going to try to milk those 2 weeks worth for everything they could. It just meant we were incredibly tired and having to be paraded about. So but then my dad also wasn't feeling well. In fact, one of the food runs we made to the neighboring city while we were at this reunion, we like my cousins and we were just getting a little antsy. Like we'd gone out with the whole family to the ancestral land, which actually it is. It's on land, I guess. It's like rice paddies and there's not terraces. It wasn't in that situation, but there was rice, I think, or used to be rice. And then I remember they were wanting to like put like a mango plantation out there. They wanted to do something to cultivate the land again. But we had to take a ferry across a river to get out there. And this is like
oh my
old
God.
Time ferry where like, this is like everybody and their water buffaloes on there. it took a while. Like we were all, it was like a whole crowd of people waiting, and this ferry had to come over.
Oh,
and we crossed over, and then, you know, like we had to get on jeeps and drive out to this country, this patch of land. And we were thinking, okay, so there's going to be food there because this is taking a while to get out there.
It's
and we
a
left
journey.
Pretty early. Yeah, it was a journey. You know, we visited my grandmother's grave. And other family members, a grave of, you know, the gravesite. So we get out to the wherever, another part of the land where there's just like a small hut or like a shelter. I'm not even sure what was all was there. I was like, okay, so I don't see any food. I don't see any, you know,
Lord.
It's just, we're just hanging out there. And I didn't know what we were doing. I mean, so we came all the way out here. We're going to sit out in this field. And then what?
Isn't that interesting? The image that came in, this is interesting that you're telling me this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because the way that you're talking about the land.
Yeah.
The feel, like, it's all, that's, so this is very full circle of, and it makes sense. I would feel the same way that you know, like, why go back? So it's interesting that your grandmother came in. Like, I didn't even put two and two together, you know, and she said, embrace your culture.
Right.
It's going to be very interesting to see how it evolves. I really do believe that it will evolve from what you're remembering.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it will, because
it can't be as bad as that. Like, I hope not.
I
that
think
sounds
in the,
terrible.
In the years.
I mean, where's the food? You're like,
I mean, that we were a lot of hungry people. And that's partly why when we got out there, there was nothing to do, as far as I could tell. Some of the guys were like shooting BB guns. I'm like, I can't.
Oh,
I didn't,
well, that's,
you know,
just amazing.
I didn't need to do that. And it was just, for me, then the only reason to go out there was to see like the graves, and that was important. But then maybe we could have stayed in that part of the town and gotten some food or something. Thank God someone brought some bread from breakfast. Some, like, we call it pain de sal. So someone had these little rolls, and they were good. Those were eaten up very quickly. By the time we got back, like, we were already plotting. Like, hey, Alisa, your parents, my parents had, because they were there a month before, had hired one of my cousins on my dad's side to drive. I think my dad rented a minivan and had someone drive. So he paid somebody to drive then.
Right.
And then another one of my cousins was like the bodyguard, you know, like he was, I don't know, he was just there. That was good.
Sounds just like Colombia. That's how we do it.
Right? So had a bodyguard.
It's the same. It makes, oh, my God. Right.
So they said, hey, Alisa, your parents have a car. Can we use that car to drive out to Tagigaro, to another city, like nearby, but it was a city and it had restaurants. Like, can we go out there to get, like, you know, just get some food, something different from when we finally got back, they were serving basically the same type of food that we've had for the last couple of days.
Right.
So I think that was like the final straw. Like, no, we are not eating this again. And I think we were hangry. We ate it because we were hungry. We ate a little bit.
Right.
But
you're like, no. That was just to keep us alive. But no, we want to go get some hamburgers and french fries. We're Americans.
That was exactly, because there was a McDonald's.
I knew
there. There was a McDonald's. And I don't know who knew that, but it's like, oh yeah, we should go there. And there was a McDonald's, and then there was a Chow King. So there was like the best of both worlds, you know, some American, you know, crap food.
It's America.
Then, you know, Chow King. Right. So I don't know how many, like five of us, however many people we could fit in that minivan, all of them wanted to go. But I'm like, okay, we'll take some orders. So we took orders. And in fact, when I had to ask my parents if we could use the minivan, which meant can we also borrow the driver, because we're not driving.
No.
And so my mom's like, yeah, your dad's in a meeting, but I think he's getting sick because of this food. I'm like, okay, mom, like, way to jab the family, but okay. She said, yeah, get him.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's,
get him.
I love
get
it.
Him something. Get him some food too. All right. So, we had orders from, like, you know, I felt like 30 people.
Right.
And I could see us. We were just so giddy because we were getting away and the promise of having something different from what we had before.
Oh my God!
We were just giddy, and we got there, and we're all wearing our reunion T-shirts. So we're all
dressed in
the same T-shirt.
Oh my God! Oh my God! That's so funny.
And we're ordering, like, we need like 500 hamburgers.
Right.
Not many, but it was a lot.
Right.
And then, you know, they were looking at us like kind of stunned at the number, the sheer volume of food that we wanted. And they're like, oh, we're out of cheese, so we can't do cheeseburgers. Like, we don't care. We'll just take burgers. That's fine. Like, we didn't care.
Right.
You know, we had you know, chicken nuggets. We had hamburgers. We had fries. We had soft drinks.
You were good.
And then
we
went to Chow King, and we got shuma. You know, we got all kinds of stuff. We had you know, just whatever we could get, like whatever we could put in our hands on. Yeah, that's good. And we half of us were inhaling fries on the way back.
Of course.
And we had to sneak it in because we didn't want to offend anybody.
Right, but, of course.
We had to sneak it in.
Right.
That was our escape. Like, it was, that was what I remember, was just like, oh, but we have to, we, for our own, you know, peace of mind and well-being and survival.
Right.
That to me, it was like, well, that just, as much stuff as was planned for us, like it wasn't planned very well.
Right.
To accommodate, you know, probably jet lag, you know.
No one's thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh,
and that's the whole thing. Like, you,
all these
thought.
People, as many people as we can, and then there you go. Like,
right.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important because if you think about that really, it's that details are everything. I say this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you can address the little things, you're so much better off because then the big things will naturally evolve. So you think about the little things like, okay, let's gonna have this side of these dorms to be for single women, or, you know, of women without families or whatever, and we're going to make this an all-female bathroom. We're going to make this site an all-male bathroom. Like, it's details. Make sure there's fresh sheets. Make sure that there's we have, you know, a cooler with some food once these tired travelers make it off of this long ferry ride or whatever. Detail is everything.
Yeah.
And if you really think about when we're overwhelmed, it's because we're trying to swallow up the big stuff, and we're dismissing and ignoring what small steps we can take.
Right.
So the small step can be the most profound, like closing your door and sitting in an upright position on your bed or whatever, and meditating for even just 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a small step to support everything else. That acknowledgement, just the fact that you're open to go back, I'm sure your parents are relieved and happy about that.
Yeah.
And you're a different person.
Well, yeah, because, you know, originally the way they had timed it was we were going to hang out for like a month. Or 3 weeks in the Philippines. I'm like, I can't spend that much time.
Oh no.
You know,
no.
Between the reunion and then when we go on our cruise, I'm like, I can't spend that much time just hanging out. So I said one or the other, and my dad immediately said, no, we need you more on this cruise. Like, there'll be other reunions. We need you more on this cruise. And then
right.
he changed it. Because when he said that, I checked out. I'm like, okay, well, then I'm good. Then I know where I need to be. Like
right.
If you had said reunion, then I would have gone. But I know he wouldn't. I know he wouldn't
right.
because he knows we travel the way we do on these cruises,
right.
and he could get through with all the family members going. He could do that with the reunion. But once you get on the cruise, I think he knows it's probably better for me to be there. But he figured it out, and I shouldn't be surprised that he did because
of course he did.
He's
right.
That's how my dad is. But honestly, the last few times that they've gone to these reunions, you know, they come back and they've had wonderful times. They did sightseeing things.
No, it's going to be good.
Fun
this
things.
One's going to be good. Yeah.
Yeah. And they stayed. So I think since then, I think it was such a difficult trip for a lot of people. And that some of
they
the details were definitely missing that. Yeah, the next time, and each time since then, it's gotten better. You know, I'm like, well, you know, we didn't do any of these things when I was there, you know, like, what happened to that? And,
that.
And so it took a little bit of convincing, but over the years, they've definitely been improving. I think they've left it to, the younger generation, which is like my generation, to
right.
start planning it. So,
right.
It's
going to
so,
be good.
Yeah, you know.
You're going to like it.
They've got
it's
people
be good.
Who are.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
well.
I know you know. Right.
And it's taken that much time, though,
Right, of
for,
course.
For me to get to where I needed to be to heal the
you
stuff that I needed to heal.
That was traumatic.
And then,
yeah, of course.
And it, you know, it was. It's funny because I could probably do a stand up from like day one.
I'm sure you could. And also too,
in this new country.
Of course, that being American, that and also no, it's brilliant. Something might be interesting to write about, you know, reunion back then, reunion now, to tie those two together.
Right.
And then you also to tie it into going deep with this profound ancestral healing. At that point, 15 years
right.
ago, you had no idea from any of this.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you are so awakened to this awareness and to be steadfast in your position to clear it as your ancestral devotion, act of devotion. Like
mm-hmm.
I really feel like in my case with my divorce, I feel like I broke a pattern.
Right.
You know, like my mother did it so I didn't have to.
Mm.
And to taste what freedom tastes like, the fact that you can be an out woman, you know, and I mean that just in terms of who you are as an individual and
right.
to embrace who you are within the confines of maybe so many people who might have suffered not really being out.
Right.
So, again, it's like taking the hit for the team. My friend Teresa went on this group retreat. It was very painful for her, and it was all tied into ancestral healing that she wasn't aware of until she was in it, and it was incredibly profound and incredibly painful.
Mm.
And she's dealing with some physical ailments as a result of this. But again, she's the designated survivor. You're the designated survivor. I'm the designated survivor. So while the patterns are being broken and healed from that ancestral line, at the same time, that act becomes also an act of service and also an act of self-healing. But in the path of self-healing, you're able to be of service. And to feel all those things, you're able to serve so much more. So when those realms get explored and experienced and you face that head on, you can then experience its opposite. And that's in the wings with you going on this trip and ultimately this family reunion. So it really is a full circle.
Yeah.
Very,
I think,
very interesting. Yeah, I think it's great.
I think the timing of it was that when we did go to the Philippines, I think I was still fairly new and actually embracing, like, this is 2005. I think I met Lois in 2003.
Oh, God.
And my other mentor was Lynette, who's still alive. She's, like, closer to my age. So I was doing classes with them, both of them, concurrently, you know, between meditation and energy work and then deep healing. All that was starting around that time.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and part of it started because I needed to get out of the house. I was living with my ex at the time. And
wow.
And, yeah, and so we were still living and working together, but we hadn't, like, or we had just, you know, finally, you know, kind of did our thing. But all of that was around that time. So
all that's getting healed now. Wow.
Yeah, and then you add family on top of that and the craziness that was going on with
and going to the motherland. Hello.
Right.
That's
I was going
deep.
There and expectations of, oh, we should have, you know, it should be fantastic. And then here's my mom freaking out because she's like, nothing looks familiar. I'm like, it's been 40 years since she'd been back. So it shouldn't look exactly the same. She was gripping my hand. Like, oh my God, Elisa, I don't know. I'm like, I'm pretty sure the driver knows where he's going. I'm pretty sure he knows.
It's scary.
In this area.
It's scary. You go to a place you haven't been in forever. When I went back to Panama, I don't know now, six, seven years ago, I don't even remember, I didn't recognize any of it because I hadn't gone since I was a teenager. And I'm like, okay,
sure. This
if I want to go to Miami, I could just go to Miami. I could stay in this country. Like, to me, it just turned into that. And look, God bless. It's a great retirement destination. Americans love it, whatever, whatever. Not my cup of tea. And then when I went to Colombia, there was something so familiar about it. When I went back there almost 2 years ago, and that's why I chose to get my – I could have gotten citizenship in Panama, but I chose to get – because of my mom, but I chose to get it in Colombia because that felt – I don't know. So I understand the lament your mother felt. Yeah, absolutely. You just resonate with the place.
Right. So to change gears a bit, we do have somebody in the chat room.
Okay, let's tell me.
And it's someone that has been in the chat room before, so it's Lil Fairy. Lil Fairy.
Lil Fairy. Fairy. Love it. That's so cute. That's the cutest thing ever. Lil Fairy. I don't know why we're saying it like that, but it just warrants that. Hi, Lil Fairy.
So she's asking... can I have a reading focused on my love life, please?
Well,
thanks. So I figure we can just pull a message for her.
That's right, girl. So is he in chat?
She, sorry.
Again, I'm always in an ultra state.
I'm assuming
so
it's a she.
I think we
had that question last time, but
I get genders and names and everything all. I get all those man-made things mixed up, and I'm just dealing with energy. So forgive me, people, when I screw up because it happens all the time. All right, so have them. Let's just use that pronoun. Have them type in the word pick. You're going to hear the music that Elisa is going to play in a moment. Type in the word pick because you are going to pick your message. And, yes, you're asking about love life, but let's see where the energies are guiding you because everything is all – it's all the whole picture. All right, so I'm ready when you guys are.
All right, so play the music. Just type in the word pick. Here we go. That is if it wants to play.
I knew the music was going to pick it, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So the number associated with this message is 225. And I really love this message, so thank you for picking it. Being true without resistance or concern of others, of expressing your best version of yourself in the moment, forms roots in tranquil soil. Isn't that beautiful? Because we're talking about the land and the earth and the motherland and all of those things and paying attention to the small things and being still. So I'll read it again. And I think when it comes to love life, that's you got to be who you are, not a version of who you think somebody wants you to be. And if you don't like it, then it just means that that's an energy telling you to work on yourself, which is a one-person job. I'll read it again. Being true without resistance or concern of others, of expressing your best version of yourself in the moment, forms roots in tranquil soil. And when we are talking about relationships, you want them to be tranquil. And hopefully it's not like a fly-by-night situation, but it is about forming roots. So if you are going to form roots with somebody, sometimes the roots will strangle each other. One will die out. But if the roots are in tranquil soil, then that growth can flourish and be cultivated and tended to and nurtured. 225. I hope that message helps.
That's a good message.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, 225. That sequence of numbers, it totals a 9, which is about really bigger picture and letting go to just be. But it's made up of these two numbers, the 2 and the 5, where 2 is about the partnership, cooperation, support. It's also the central number in that sequence. It's a little different energy. It's much more steadying than the 5, which is meant to be outside the comfort zone and exploratory and adventurous. It's about changes. So through this understanding of your higher self and yourself, that's that inner work that kind of goes into this message, as a matter of fact. The 2 and the 2 just say, you know, be in love with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave in her birthday too. It's August 8th. I have another friend whose birthday is also August 8th. So it's a Leo energy, and certainly there's a healthy dose of self when it comes to a Leo.
Yeah.
But sometimes it can be just on the surface because you still want people to love you and approve of you. And so this 225 is saying, you know, continue to do the inner work, so that — I love how the message put it — so it's not about waiting for somebody to acknowledge that, or
right,
hoping that, you know, it's such a different vibe when the confidence is from within, because then that ends up attracting, you know, probably all types, but hopefully the right types of people that you also are in line with. That you're like, hey, that looks good to me too. I'm in touch with that. And I love your additional, you know, imagery of tree roots.
Right.
Because yeah, they can get intertwined, and then it ends up, you know, not being an ideal situation. Like it's not a good area for growth if one is strangling the other. After you're like, hey, we're finally together. Oh, now get off me. You know, that type of thing.
Right.
But so the 225, it just says a lot of things that will be coming your way that you're going to experience. You know, some of it is about making room and letting go. That's the overall vibe of this 9, which is the 225 added up. It's about just letting go of who you thought you needed to be and just being who you are.
Right.
And to do this so in ways that support you, to that show you that, you know, that say, yeah, I actually do recognize the things within me that are pretty brilliant, actually, and that,
yes.
But I want to keep showing. I'm showing for myself because that feels good. And then as you start feeling better about who you are, because you know who you are, then like look around and see the quality of people that you are befriending, and that you're probably, you know, it could just be something very, very light, like, oh, I just happen to be in line and now I'm talking to people. But I think you'll end up attracting a certain quality of people who can truly appreciate you and who see you for who you are. And that's where this opening comes from. Because now it's not about you looking at yourself through the lenses of other people, but, you know, you're just showing up, and now you get to see people for who they are. It does a service to everybody when you're able to do that.
And one thing I want to jump in here with the energy for her with this question, because it is, I think, addressing the issue that's on her mind about love life. Please don't suppress your personality. Please don't mute who you are or soften the edges because of self-doubt or concern that this person may not like that version of you. I'm just getting that energy. I don't know if she can confirm that in the chat, but if you're feeling to kind of make yourself smaller, I would advise not to.
I said definitely don't do that. Because
right.
It goes against the very nature of being a Leo, first of all.
And it's misrepresentation, but sometimes for a person, but sometimes if there's a love interest, we throw everything
sure.
away. Our worthiness,
sure.
our nature. So I don't know if she's interacting with you on the chat, but I would love to know if that's aligning up because that's what I'm getting. Like, please.
She hasn't written anything
okay.
in
but
response
anyway,
to that.
Just be who you are, girl.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah. All right.
And the other thing she wrote in there after her birthday was that she's been single for years. So I will say that as of your birthday in August, you are in a number one personal year.
Oh, good.
So you are, it's a new beginning for you. So
you can be on the market.
This is, you're on the market. And this is you starting anew.
Right.
In that, as you continue to acknowledge how far you've come and who you are and letting all that shine, that's that new beginning that you're giving yourself. So shed all the heaviness that, especially whatever was going on this past year, as you've emerged, this is who you are. And it may be a little interesting because if you've ever been told, tone it down a little bit or, whatever tips you may have gotten from other people, maybe because you asked, why is this not happening? There are different questions you can be asking instead of, and I'm saying this for all of us, not about, what's wrong with me. Sometimes that's a question people ask, and then you get a lot of answers to that because it's a very wide open question. But instead, if you look at what do I have to offer? Even that can be modified. As I say, it's like not even that. It's like what do you really love about yourself? And
right.
Not in an egotistical kind of way.
No. Nope.
But the things that you do, everyday things that bring you joy, I enjoy being in nature, and I don't do it as often as I like, but when I do, I tell you what, I find all kinds of gifts, and I can tell how that feels for me. I don't have to be with anybody to be out there and enjoying. I got to see butterflies and different types of just different types of animals. I'm like, that to me is pretty cool. That
it's
speaks
beautiful.
To me, and I know
yep.
that it changes my energy. So I'm like, yeah. So I know that whoever I want to hang out with, it helps if if they're mindful of that they also enjoy just that peace of not having to maybe talk all the time, but just to be.
Right.
So anyway.
Love that. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have addressed that. And yeah, I'm glad we didn't get into my crazy story because it was just ha 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 ha. No, that wasn't.
I'm calling you after the show.
No. It wasn't deliberate. I think what's today's Thursday, right?
Thursday.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think by the time Tuesday comes, I'll be more settled. Emotionally,
okay.
Yeah, I probably would have fallen apart. So I think I want to save it for Tuesday's show. And I think there'll be some insight that will go along with that between now and then. So that's kind of how I want to look at that. All right. Full circle moment. This is really good. You're really healing beautifully. So, I'm really – it's very gratifying. To witness that, which is really good. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And our show will be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, love yourself fiercely. Let the light do the work, and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you too. Care. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
That you like.